Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Yeah, it's good to see many new faces, and love for you guys to get to know my family. If you haven't met them, consider coming to the morning service 1 week. Oh, we do have one of those. I know some of you don't know there's stuff like that before 1 o'clock on a Sunday. But my youngest now is one, and she's actually turned 15 months. 15 months, sure. 15 months this week. Her name is Emily. And she believes she's in charge of our household. You have to meet her. She's really amazing. She walks around like she calls the shots. She has a little finger which she points. She doesn't speak a lot. She just goes, eh. And then the rest of the household has to respond, you know, and So we've got tenants that have two little dogs, and when the dogs are barking, she would stand there and just go and tell them off. She would just go, and then say something in her language. And when Anna, my wife, is telling off the older ones, she stands next to her and points her finger like this, and she, it's amazing. You know, being a parent is really an interesting journey. But anyway, what a blessing. So let's pray. Let's pray as we get into the Word this evening. Hallelujah. Father, what a privilege and what a blessing to be in your presence, God. Thank you that, we just agree with that Word, that it was not cheap, Lord. The fact that you have paid the price, that we are able to draw near to you boldly, without fear, without condemnation, Lord. And this evening we don't take it for granted, Lord. We thank you that we can draw near to you through the blood of your Son, Jesus. And we thank you that you are here. And we thank you, Lord, that we can lay aside all distractions and stuff that occupies our minds, Lord. And we can together agree that we take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And right now, Lord, we thank you that we are not here for any man's opinion, Lord, but we are here to connect with you, Lord, and we are here to hear from you, God, and we are open, Holy Spirit, for you to come and mold us and shape us and to come and lead us into truth as our teacher, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to start with a well-known account from 2 Kings chapter 4, from the life of the prophet Elisha. Let's read from verse 1. If you go one more right, it'll get a bit bigger. Yeah, it helps a bit. Okay. One day the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, "My husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come, threatening to take my two sons as slaves. What can I do to help you?" Elisha asked. "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" "Nothing at all, except a flask of olive oil," she replied. And Elisha said, "Borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled." So she did as she was told. The sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon every container was full to the brim. "Bring me another jar," she said to one of her sons. "There aren't any more," he told her, and then the olive oil stopped flowing. And when she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, "Now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over." Really one of my favorite accounts of just God intervening miraculously in the life of a family. And I want us to just have a look at a few key points and stand still at a few places in this piece this evening. And now firstly, if you look at the situation that this widow found herself in, obviously many of us have challenges and problems we face, some of them huge and it's like a mountain before us, but do you see that this is probably bigger than any of the problems we are facing right now? Her husband has died, she's a widow now, she has to look after her two sons, and now there's somebody that's actually going to come and take her sons away for them to become slaves, for them to lose any right on their own life and to spend the rest of their life enslaved to this creditor. Crazy situation she finds herself in. Obviously, she's desperate. She's in a place of desperation. She's in a place of hopelessness and wrestling with God and coming to Elisha, you know, at a wit's end. What should I do? You know, please help. And interestingly enough, he asked something that I believe God often asks us when we are in a similar challenge, or in a bit of a jam, or when we find ourselves stretched in some way. It doesn't have to be financially. It could be in your work or in your studies. It could be just a challenging situation. Often when we come to God and kind of, Lord, please, you know, help me, I believe He asks us this one thing. What is it that you have in your hand? What is it that you have in your house? What have I already blessed you with? Is there anything that you have? And often, I believe the part of the reason why we are a bit desperate is because we, similarly to this widow, we feel like we've got nothing. There's nothing there. Everything's gone. Or maybe it's not a resource thing. Maybe it's time. You know, I'm so stretched for time. There's so much going on. I'm not getting around to stuff that are important. Now I've got this challenge that requires more of my time, and I'm like looking at, and there's no time. I've got nothing. Or maybe you've just started working and that pace is just getting to you, the working life. But I believe this is a key where God says, but what do you have? And she says, nothing, I have nothing. And then she remembers, but except I've got this little bit of oil. And it's normally that little bit, even that we feel isn't worth much, or that little bit of time that I have, or that little bit of faith that I have, or that little bit of capacity that I have to trust God, it's often that little bit that I'm willing to bring. It's that thing that God uses to do a miracle. Remember the boy with the loaves and the fish? He said, okay, well, that's all I have. I've got lunch here that I packed, my mom packed for me. And God does the miracle. So firstly, what do you have in your hand? What do you have in your house? And then very interestingly, we see that God does a crazy miracle in terms of provision for this family. And it happens in a very specific way. And do you see that the size of the provision and almost the size of the miracle in this case is dependent upon the response of the family in the obedience to what God is saying? You see that? So maybe I'm thinking in hindsight, now, in my life, it always seems to happen differently. So the Lord would provide miraculously in a certain way. You know, when there's times of crisis, there have been times where my wife and I had really trust God and, you know, say, okay, Lord, this is really a bit of a tight spot. We have no plan B. You know, there's no credit cards or whatever. There's nothing left. What do we do? And then God would provide miraculously. I mean, in England once, I can't remember the circumstance, but it was really tight. And I remember us praying together in agreement in the evening, Lord, if you're married, that's just one of the most powerful things, is to pray in agreement with your spouse. There's few prayers as powerful as that. And we prayed together. I remember us taking hands, and I think we might have taken communion. We prayed in agreement. We said, Lord, we don't know what to do. And the next morning, there was £1,000 under our door. In an envelope. That was a blessing. Yeah. It was those days. It was still like a 20 rand to the pound. Anyway, lots of money. But praise the Lord. But what I was going to say is that in my life, it seems that every time God provides or God comes through, it's different. But in this case, I think in hindsight, if the lady had known what was going to happen, she might have been looking for a porta pool or getting the JoJo tank from her neighbor or whatever. And just listen, can we just get a bigger thing, you know? But you see that correlation between how she responds to the instruction. That is how much oil there was. That's how big the miracle was. And what I would also like about this is that Elisha gave the instructions, but he wasn't present when the miracle happened. And it's so important for us not to live vicariously through somebody else's experience of God. Yes, we can hear from God through other people, but it's so important that each one of us connects with God in person. And in this case, they heard the word and they went to apply the word and they gathered the jars and they shut the door and the miracle happened right there in their house. The Lord did the miracle and they kept on pouring, and as long as there were more jars, the oil kept flowing. And the moment there weren't any more, the oil stopped. Now in our lives, I believe God wants us to have a lot of empty jars available for Him to do what He wants to do. And this evening, I want us to stand still a little bit at that. What are the empty jars? What does that signify in our lives? What are the empty jars that God wants us to gather? And I believe, I heard somebody minister on this earlier in this week, and it really encouraged me. And he said that the empty jars that we need to be collecting and we need to gathering is basically our faith in and our expectation of the God that we serve. Amen. What is my faith expectation of the King, the Lord that I am following? What are my empty jars that I'm gathering and putting out? And the thing that I had on my heart is preparing and praying through this is that we go through seasons where things are tough and things are challenging, and maybe we get disillusioned, maybe our faith takes a knock. What happens is we end up with no jars and no expectation. And the guys, I'm saying this out of very personal experience. There was we were living in the UK for 6 years, and there's a season in that time that was, it was really tough for us on various levels. And we've been back now for more than just over a year now, and it's been really good to kind of wrestle with God through some of that stuff and really just allow God to, minister to us, and just through some of those, just looking back at some of those challenging seasons. And one of the things that's come up is I realized that in that time there was really a shift in terms of what my expectation was of God. And in some of those difficult seasons, God has showed me that what has happened is that I allowed the enemy to come in and discouragement to come in, and that affected what I was trusting Him for. And so that's what I'm trusting, what I feel in my heart for us this evening is to look at, are we happy to just stay in a survival mode in our relationship with God? Are we happy to just maintain, I'm okay now, I'm saved, I know I'm saved, I know I'm born again, I'm just going to hang in there? Or do we really want to push the boundaries? Do I want to grow in my faith? Do I want to, instead of just maintaining or surviving, do I want to be victorious in Christ? Instead of just kind of, I don't know, it's a funny thing, it's this grace thing. Sometimes we think, by the grace of God, and the picture we have in our minds, or in our, maybe not consciously, but it's almost like you're thinking, when I reach heaven's gate, I'm going to be on my, just lyingly. I'm just going to be crawling those last few inches. Just crawl myself, you know, pull myself over the line. I'm just, you know, just going to make it to heaven by the skin of my teeth, you know, just like. But I believe the grace of God is not like that. You know, in Afrikaans we talk about die genade van die Here, you know, it almost feels like it's close, you know, but by the grace of God. But I feel the grace of God is so much more than that. The grace of God empowers us to be victorious, not survivors only, but be overcomers and victorious. Are you with me this evening? Yeah, there's two guys on this side. Amen. Hallelujah. We get there. So I want us to look at a couple of scriptures now. This computer keeps on switching off. Just stick with me. All right. Let's have a look now. Before we go on, I want to quickly look at a quote from Andrew Murray. He says, faith expects from God what is beyond all expectation. Faith is that thing where we trust God for something that is ridiculous. We trust God for stuff that is not necessarily possible. And actually in Hebrews, we're told that faith is the substance of something that we hope for. And it's the evidence of something that is yet unseen. And that's kind of messes with your head a bit because that doesn't make sense. You know, how can there be substance of something that you're still hoping for? And how can there be evidence of something that is not visible? But that is exactly how faith works. It's when we put our trust and our faith in a God that is able to and we're going to look at that scripture now, it's able to call something out of nothing, to bring the dead to life. Let's look at that for a moment. Scripture in Romans chapter 4. And he's referring back to the life of Abram. And he says, this is the God who Abram believed. And he says, Abram believed God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. That is the God that we have faith in. That is why we can put faith in Him, because He is the one that gives life to the dead, and He is the one that calls the things that calls things which do not exist as though they did. In other words, before they even exist, He's already spoken them into being. And because He's speaking them into being, they come into being. And I believe as believers and as children of God, He's put in us that same power, is to call something that does not exist as though it did. In this case, Abram and his wife, she was, I think, 99, and he was already 100. And they were trusting God for a son. Because the massive promises that God had given them all depended upon them having a son. And they were at this advanced age, and they did not have a son. Can you see the dilemma there? I'm not near 100 yet. But I feel like I think I got enough children now. I think I'm so I don't know about when you hit 100. But this is the power of this fact that Abram, in the sight of this massive impossibility, he chose to believe in the God that brings life from death and that calls something that doesn't exist as though it did. And then they did have a son. My wife and I had a struggle. Some of you might know the stories. A couple of years ago, we went through some tests in England, and doctors there did a whole bunch of tests on us, and they gave us the bad news and said, listen, you're not able to have children naturally. But it was a massive knock for us, massive wrestle that we had to wrestle through with God, something that we'd really been desiring for a long time, is to start a family, and we've been struggling, and there was nothing happening, and then we got this news, and then we were faced with this exact challenge of, okay, are we gonna stand in the light of the facts of the matter, and the light of the results of the test, and the light of the report from the doctors? Are we gonna allow that to dictate how our lives will be going forward? Or are we going to put our faith in the God who gives life and him who calls things that do not exist as though they do. And I was reminded of, as a young, I wasn't going to share this, but as a young believer, the Lord had me pray for my family. I hadn't even met my wife, and I hadn't even, I mean, I was just out of school, basically. And the Lord had me pray for my family, and he had me pray for my children. And he had me prophesy. And he even showed me pictures of my children. It was such a precious time, because when we were wrestling through this thing of us not having, being able to have children naturally and having to consider all kinds of other things, the Lord reminded me of those things and those pictures. And then we had a decision to make. Are we going to go with the reality? Have you ever, often people will say to you, listen, you need to get real about this. You need to face the facts. You need to come down to earth. Have you heard that? You need to, you know, get real about this. Don't live in la-la land. We had to make a decision. Are we going to allow our lives and our path to be dictated to by our circumstance? Or are we going to be stand on the promise of the God that gives life and that calls that that doesn't exist as though it does? And praise God, now 3 children later, hallelujah. Praise God, he's come through for us. But I want to. So there's that aspect of how do we want to go through this year? Do we want to just cruise and survive? Do we just want to maintain? Or are we going to trust God? Are we going to gather more jars? And I felt God wants to challenge some of us this evening in terms of where's your heart at? You know, sometimes through disillusionment and challenges and stuff we face, our heart gets a little bit hardened. And then we don't want to put out our faith anymore because we are afraid of being disappointed. And we want to hold back a bit. We want to kind of button down the hatches and just cover and just want to just make it through the season because it's been so tough and I've been disappointed and I've been hurt. And it brings us to a place where we aren't able to say, Lord, I trust you for great, miraculous, crazy things. And I really feel God wants to heal some hearts this evening to bring us again to a place where we can say, Lord, I trust you for the stupidest things. I want to trust you for the ridiculous things. I want to trust you for the impossible things. I want to gather jars. I want to create capacity for whatever you want to do in my life. I want to put my expectation out there. And another thing that we see here that's interesting is that Elisha told the lady to shut the door. Gather the jars and shut the door. And it's so important for us to recognize, like I mentioned, there will be people that question. Listen, you need to be real about this. Or you need to come down to earth a bit. But it's important that when we've gathered our jars, that we close the door and we don't allow the devil to come with discouragement. We don't allow the devil to come and steal from our expectation that we have of the living God. We don't allow people to come and you know, tell us, no, listen, what you're doing is you're way out on a cloud. You need to get real about this. Whatever the challenge might be that you're facing, whatever the situation is, be aware that there will be a contention for your jars, your empty vessels. Amen? Don't allow the enemy to steal them away. Don't allow the enemy or people to steal your empty vessels, your jars, your expectation. Now, in terms of our trusting God, in terms of our putting our faith in Him, it starts with our revelation of who He is. Matt Redman, I believe it was him, has a song that says that worship starts with seeing you. Worship starts with us seeing who He is. And I don't have a lot of time to go into that, but it links to this, because our being able to trust God starts when we are able to taste and see that He is good. Amen. When we look at Him and we look at what He's doing, and we observe Him maybe in a friend's life, and we're like, wow, that's amazing. God is good. And I want us to, this evening, maybe you're in a bad spot and you've had a lot of maybe bad experiences around church, and I really feel God wants you to open your heart a bit and say, Lord, allow me to see You for who You are. I want to taste. Amen. I want to taste. Okay. Let's skip the next slide. Let's go on to Luke chapter 6. Yep. 44. If a tree is identified by its fruit, figs are never gathered from thorn bushes and grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. And this links closely to the whole issue of our expectation. Because you know what? What's in our heart will come out in how we pray, will come out in what we say about our situation. It'll come out in what we proclaim over our challenges. Could either be a place where, often when the wheels start coming off, or when we hit a bit of a speed bump, we go into default mode, right? For some of us, default mode is finding a corner to sit in. We get depressed and we want to just escape and watch movies and just escape. You know? For some of us, default mode is to get offended with God or upset or whatever. But so all of us have a default mode, which is normally the flesh. Okay, just avoid that default. But it's so important for us to be aware of what's going on in our heart. Because what's going on in our heart will come out of our mouths. And it will come out in how we pray. It will come out in what I'm saying about my situation. And that's why I'm saying, don't go into default mode, because often when we face massive challenges, whether it be work or studies or family or relationships, we tend to want to get negative, and we tend to want to say bad stuff and confess that this is the worst possible situation ever. And it's so important for us to be aware that what I allow in my heart and what I allow in my head and what I allow to come out of our mouth has such a massive impact on where the situation is going to go. What's in our hearts will come out of our mouths. And I want to encourage us to, in those bad spots, in those tight spaces, and even in the good times, allow the Holy Spirit to fill your heart with what's on His heart, so that your confession will be one of faith and trust in Him and expectation of Him. Amen. And specifically, something that I felt God is laying on our hearts this evening is, as this year, we're really trusting God to grow as a church, as a family, in the capacity that each one of us has, each member of the body. We all look different. We all have different functions. If we look at the different parts of the body, it varies so much. But that each one of us will actually recognize that we have an absolutely integral part to play. And that each of us, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is able to be a minister some way or another. And so what I was challenged with also in the last while is that God showed me that in my time in England, there was a time where, because of my lack of expectation, I really struggled to reach out to other people. Where before, living in London years ago, I mean, I remember praying for people on the bus. I remember praying for strangers on the street and people getting healed on the street and people getting saved at my workplace and getting spirit-filled. And now it's as if the enemy was filling my head with all kinds of reasons why it's difficult now. The culture and this and that and everything happening. I just had to repent and say, Lord, You haven't changed. You are still the author of salvation. You are still the one that draws the hearts of people to Yourself. You are still the one that heals and delivers and saves. But somewhere my expectation has gone wrong. Are you with me this evening? And I felt God wants to challenge us with that this evening. Where is your expectation in terms of Him ministering to people through your life? Have you got jars out? Are you trusting God for the impossible this year? I remember going to an evangelism course in Austria and praying for somebody that wanted to be born again. And now I do speak German. My mom's German. But I must confess my German is a bit rusty. Okay, so now can you imagine this picture? I'm now praying. I'm leading this guy. He's German. I'm leading him in a prayer of salvation. Okay? Now, because my mom isn't a believer, my Christian lingo in German is zero. Okay, so I'm really struggling here. You know, I'm leading this guy in a prayer, but I never pray in German. Okay, so any case, so very funny. I pray a sentence and he prays it, but correctly. You know, I can't, and I have to struggle to keep a straight face. You know, because this is a holy moment. He's getting saved. You know, it's really amazing, but. I'm praying my best German and he prays, but obviously he can't pray wrong. You know, he has to, he's German, you know. Anyway, it was hilarious. But he praised God, he got saved. But I remember encountering on the streets of Austria and having a few very key moments where I prayed and I asked God to show me his heart for the lost. And specifically the one day in the red light district. It was really challenging for me. We were ministering to prostitutes and drug dealers and drug addicts, and something that I had been protected of my whole life, something I couldn't relate with at all. And I remember standing to one side and looking over the people, and I'm so shocked by their physical condition. Of many of them having AIDS, many of them being wrecked with just disease and struggling, and they're just, you can see that drug addiction has really taken its toll. And I remember standing there and said, Lord, I'm still really struggling to relate. And I said, Lord, can you just show me? Show me your love for these people. And I just remember just standing there weeping for a while, I don't know how long. But the Lord just showed me his heart. For whosoever, for the ones that look amazing but are messed up inside, and the ones that look terrible and need Him so desperately, wherever you are, wherever you come from, God showed me that His love for people is beyond anything we can imagine. And my life was changed that day because I allowed God to show me His heart. And that day, my expectation of what God wants to do through my life drastically changed, because I recognize that He's so desperate to demonstrate His love to people. Do you understand that? Do you see that I recognize that my role is actually quite small? I must just be ready to be a channel, and God will do the rest. I saw people healed. I saw people give their lives to Christ on the street, because my expectation changed. And I started gathering jars because I knew God wants to do it. He wants to do the miracle. He wants to touch the lives. He wants to transform the communities. And all He needs is somebody that's willing to say, yes, you know what? I'm here, Lord. I want to step out in faith. I want to trust You. I remember a crusade we were part of near Cape Town, or in the flats there, Cape Flats. I don't know if you've ever been to a church there, guys, that these guys like their music. Okay? Have you got a bit of time left? Sorry, I'm getting a bit long. 5 minutes. Okay. Five. Anybody? Give me 5 minutes. There's 1, 10, 20. Okay, great stuff. Doing well. All right, so these guys were going huge with the music. Okay, they had these massive speakers. And I remember I put stuff in my ears because we were worshiping, and I think the whole of Cape Town could hear. It was really amazing. But I don't know where they got those speakers, but they were huge. And it wasn't even such a big tent. But so the music was huge and loud, and I really put stuff in my ears. And I remember them praying for a boy that was born deaf. I think actually he was deaf and dumb. Couldn't hear, couldn't speak since birth. And they brought him up on the stage, and he stood in front of one of those speakers. With his back to the speaker, he was standing on stage, the speakers were on stage, and he was standing, and the speakers were kind of to the right behind him, like this, just deadpan face. Obviously, somebody brought him up, probably about 12, and somebody laid hands on him. But the music was still going, right? And to see his face, and God healed him. He grabbed his ears like this, and the shock on his face, because now we could hear, and obviously this was his first introduction to the sound, you know, like, what? You know, and he grabbed both his ears like this, and his face, you could see, this boy can hear now. God is able. And what I want to leave with us this evening is that God, He is the one that saves to the uttermost. He is the one that heals and delivers and sets free. He hasn't changed. But you and I need to say, Lord, I haven't got a lot to give. I've just got this little bit. But whatever you want to do with my little bit, I trust that you're going to do a miracle. And this year it's going to start maybe with you praying for somebody in your class. Maybe it's going to start with you just encouraging somebody at your workplace. But you know what? Our expectation is not on my ability or my fancy words or my answers to difficult questions. My expectation is in the King of Kings and the Lord that spoke the universe into being and the one that saved me from the pit. My expectation is in Him. Amen. That's why I can say, yes, gather the jars and make sure I've got to enough so that His kingdom can come, so that the oil can flow and we can see. I believe we want to see our city transformed. We're going to see our communities transformed as you and I choose to partner with Him. Are you with me this evening? Are you going to have communion? There's all lots of stuff that I wanted to say that I haven't said, but let's anyway. If the guys can bring the communion so long. You know, one of the things that God has reminded me of is that when we do step out in faith and things don't happen like we think they should, or when we do trust God for something and it goes differently, or when we do reach out to somebody and the response isn't what we hoped, we do get disillusioned and we do want to protect our hearts, and sometimes we get cynical. And that is a subtle thing that creeps in, that bit of a negativity and a cynicism that comes in. And I really feel this grace for us to bring hardened hearts before God. You guys can start heading out. Bring our hardened hearts before Him. Maybe disappointed, maybe a bit cynical. And I feel maybe there's some of us here that maybe when we were younger, we did trust God for crazy things, or we did have a faith in God to trust Him for ridiculous things. Now God, I feel He wants to restore that grace to put a lot of jars out, to trust Him for the impossible things. And one of the things that happens when we do get a bit discouraged and disillusioned is we go into performance mode. And if you've been a believer for a couple of years now, maybe you've seen that happen, is that we go from a place of where we trust God and our expectation is in Him to a place where we say, okay, I need to work harder at this. I need to pray harder, or I must do more, and I must, you know, I must just perform better as a Christian. Maybe I'll see more fruit if I can just push my performance up a bit. And I really felt God saying this evening that my son, my daughter, I finished the work. I've paid the price. But I need you just to step into that victory and walk in obedience to what I'm saying to you. And that's where the miracle starts, is when we start saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to gather the jars. Yes, I'm going to pray for that classmate. Or yes, I'm going to pray for that family member. I can't see the result. I can't see any change, but I'm going to keep praying. Don't allow discouragement or don't allow something that happens differently than you thought to take you into performance mode. Amen? Watch out for that. Okay, I'm going to read one more scripture just to close. Can we stand? So long. We just go to the next slide, Mark chapter 11, from 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Not whatever he thinks, not whatever he's psyching himself up about, whatever he says. Okay, again, the power of your confession. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, it seems like this guy's got his tenses all mixed up and his future tense, and you know, because this doesn't make like a sense. Can you see? You can believe that you receive it present tense and then you will have it future tense. Maybe English is going out the window now, but that doesn't make sense. But that's how faith works. Is that we believe that we have received something before we see it. And we believe that God is coming through for us before He has come through for us. That's the substance of something I hope for. I remember when we got pregnant, the first child, the miracle baby, Abigail. All of them are miracles. You know what? To be honest with you, there was still a tiny bit of doubt in my heart. Can it be real? And then when we went for the first scan, it's a miraculous thing. As you see the little child. It's still very, very small. But you can see everything is there. It's only a couple of weeks old, but you can see the body, you can see the head, you can see the spinal cord. It's a miracle. And it's such a powerful substance of something that you're hoping for. You can't touch it yet. It's in the womb, but at least there's a scan that you... And faith is, I believe God wants to give us that substance. He wants to give us grace to be able to say, Lord, I open my heart. I make myself vulnerable. I want to taste and see that you are good. I want to grow in my faith. You know that faith is like a muscle. It needs to be exercised. When we stagnate and when we don't push the boundaries and when we don't trust God for stuff, our faith gets weaker. I can tell you now, some of my muscles that I haven't used a lot. I used to be quite a fit guy. It was about 5 years and 5 years and 12 kilograms ago. But in the same way that when we don't do stuff physically, we get unfit and our muscles forget what it means to do stuff. Our faith is the same, guys. I want to say, may this be the year that we grow, that we exercise our faith. So if you feel like this evening you're nowhere in your faith, that's good. But know that you have received the measure of faith. Then may this be the year where we say, Lord, okay, I want to exercise. If I have never trusted God for 100 rand, then this year I'm going to trust Him for 100 rand. And next year, 1,000. And the year after that, 10,000. That I've got to grow in my faith. Or if I've never prayed for somebody or I've never invited somebody to church, then you know what, God, I want to grow this year. I want to put out some jars. I want to stretch my faith. I want to invite one person. Maybe you start with one a month. Or if I've never prayed for a classmate, I'm not saying necessarily for them in their presence, but at home or wherever, just start stepping out of faith. Start praying for your neighbor and your classmate. Say, Lord, I haven't exercised this muscle. I want to grow. Let's pray. Let's close our eyes. God, I thank you for your presence here. Lord, in your presence, there's fullness of joy. In your presence, there's life forevermore, Lord. There's no better place. There's no better place than in your presence, God. And we love you, Lord. We love being with you, Lord. Thank you this evening that we can ask that you do heart surgery in our hearts, that you'd come and open our chests, Lord, that you would come and remove hard hearts, that you'd come and remove cynicism, Lord, you'd come and remove fear, Lord, that you'd come and remove the hard parts that came through hurt and disappointment, Lord, and that you'd give us a soft heart again, vulnerable to you, Lord, but able to taste and see that you are good. Vulnerable, Lord, and soft, but Lord, able to trust you, God, and yet step out on a limb and step out to where it's not comfortable, Lord, knowing that you are good and you are faithful.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.